So creating a community, creating a culture within your business or a fan base within your business, excuse me, is another way to really take this reputation that you're building and start expanding it out and start really expanding your reach to find new people. And then eventually you'll start hearing people call being like, hey, I've been hearing so much about you. I had to figure out what you're about. And that goes back to before any internets, you know, and all that stuff, that word of mouth's gone digital, but it still manifests as word of mouth.
I'm web strategist Wes McDowell, and this is The Profitable Website, the podcast where I share all my secrets to use your website and what's working now in digital marketing to reach more people and make a deeper impact with your prospects so you can supercharge your growth, eliminate the stress of inconsistent income, and build a business you love to show up for every single day. In return, I promise to show up to support you on every step of your journey. Let's put your website to work. All right, happy Monday. Welcome back to the show. So this episode is a pretty interesting one because I'm sure you've heard of reviews, right? You've heard of testimonials. But what about this thing we call reputation marketing? I know it just sounds like a buzzword, but it really has some serious upside for your business if you can get it to work the right way for you. So today, I'm joined by Sean Hill. He's the Community Marketing Director at Nice Job. And we're gonna go into all the ins and outs of how reputation marketing can actually grow your small business really quickly. He's got some great actionable tips for you that you can put into place today and just start seeing the benefits. It's actually a lot easier than you think. So before we get into that conversation, I do want to let you guys know this episode is brought to you by my brand new Ultimate Google Ranking Kickstart Kit. So this is everything you need to flawlessly plan and optimize the perfect search campaign for your small or local business. Now this comes with three different components. Each one is really valuable. So the first one is the perfect on-page SEO blueprint. So it's going to show you what to put on every page of your website to get the biggest results possible from Google. You'll also get the Google My Business Success Checklist. Now, this is going to be a guided setup that's going to make optimizing your Google My Business profile a breeze and put you in prime pouncing position to really be able to overtake your competition in those all-important map results. It also includes the Profitable Keyword Research Workbook. So Google search success depends entirely on choosing the right keywords that you want to rank for. So this all-in-one workbook takes out all the guesswork and lets you organize it all in one easy place. So to get your hands on the Ultimate Google Ranking Kickstart Kit, just go to wesmcdowell.com/Google. It's completely free. Again, wesmcdowell.com/Google. All right, so let's talk about reputation marketing with Sean Hill. Let's listen to that conversation. All right, Sean, welcome to the show.
A pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for having us on.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just talk about this idea of reputation management and how any small business owner can use it to grow. I'll just ask the elephant in the room question. What is reputation marketing?
Yeah, so the best thing about reputation marketing is you kind of mentioned reputation management, you know, earlier in the sentence there. Yeah, is that's a part of it. And then you take a little bit of brand marketing and it together. So reputation marketing is a relatively new term. I don't say it's a brand new term. It's kind of floated around, but it's really starting to get a defined definition. And what that is that you're going to take your brand assets from your company's reputation into your advertising, put it in your promotional material, kind of making it part of your sales process as well. And these assets will include, you know, customer reviews, you know, testimonials, but it also can include things like awards you've won, you know, photos that you've taken, things like that. And where it kind of combines both brand marketing and reputation management is the brand marketing is that you're kind of advertising your identity, you know, your values, you know, this is who we are, this is what we stand for. And then reputation management is the collection of reviews. Some people go down a darker path, which is like shelling out the bad and only accepting the good and a lot of those bad policy things. But right. Reputation management is about just collecting social proof and feedback. And when you bring them both together as reputation marketing, in the sense of how Nice Job performs it, it's getting real reviews from your customers and giving you the marketing tools to then turn that into advertising as better click-through rates. But ultimately just to create this psychological bonus of when people go to make a decision to work with you or not work with you is that there's social proof there to tell them that it's a safe decision, a good decision, and anything of that nature. So that's why we at Nice Job kind of made the shift to go full into reputation marketing and not just stay behind in reputation management.
Yeah, it's really important. Like, obviously, social proof is everything for a small business, especially one that you haven't worked with yet. You know, you want to know that other people have gone before you. And I think it's a smart idea to really combine this idea of reviews with the branding elements in place. So let's talk about then how a small business can use reputation marketing to grow. What are your tips? What's your advice? It's a big topic, yeah, so I'm sure.
Yeah, there's twofold to that answer. The one way, which I'll start at, which is I think what people most want to hear, but I will honestly say I don't believe should be your full focus. And what that is that, well, the more reviews you get, the more that those are posted online, it's more user-generated content that helps you with search engines. We talk about like that Google Map 3 pack, which, you know, especially mm-hmm. if like you're a home service business, you know you want to appear there. And Google My Business puts a lot of things in the way sometimes of that, of like, well, you have to list a service area, you can't list a physical address. And, you know, a lot of these things that some home service professionals have, you know, it's a little bit of a minefield to get through. But just by getting reviews posted to your Google My Business, your Facebook, et cetera, that's going to tell, you know, a search engine like Google that you're a viable business, that you're an active business, and that people are kind of creating some buzz for you just in that regard. So it's going to help you kind of appear more. So you're going to start growing your business because you'll see yourself in that Map 3 pack. You'll see more visitors start to kind of come to your website because you're looking like that top result. You're looking like something that has a lot of juice. Then from there, you just make sure your website, you know, converts really well. Or even if, you know, it's just phone number, make sure you have a good sales process there that, you know, when whoever's answering that phone is able to kind of guide customers through. So that's the one part you can grow. But the other way you grow, the reason I say it's more important is because that's going to be a huge foundation and a huge building block for your success, is you build this kind of culture, this understanding, this process into your business that you're not afraid of feedback, that you want to know how you're doing, that you want to have a constant temperature check of how your technicians are doing, how, if you're a sole entrepreneur, just, you know, how people are receiving what you're doing. You can really start crafting how you're building your services from there. Right. So it's, yeah. I go back to the old adage, like, you can say you're the best, but if no one else does, are you really the best? Right. You know, as mm-hmm. humans, we're kind of built on this kind of competition elements. The reason that, you know, sports teams make billions of dollars playing child's games is because people love to see that competitive sort of element and they want to kind of grow with it. So what you get by building in reputation marketing, besides the marketing element, is that reputation. And what that reputation is going to do is allow you to gain a connection with your community, because these are people within your service area talking about you, you know, giving you commentary, giving you feedback. It also is going to be, as we talked about before, the psychology of, oh, my neighbor did this, or, oh, that guy did it, or, oh, hey, I realize because there's a photo with this review here, that house we always drive by when we're going out to the grocery store, you know how we always look, we're like, man, like that lawn looks amazing. These are the guys that did that lawn. I see the photo right here. Mm-hmm. You build this sort of, you know, institutional connection with your community. And then when you see what's written in the reviews and you acknowledge all that, you can do things like performance-based pay for your employees. You can also do things like identifying what's in those reviews and what changes we should make. Like, hey, people aren't really talking about the fact that we are a punctual company. Maybe we'll show up 5 minutes earlier and see if that, you know, really starts going, because people are talking about that's what they want to see, but they're not really saying it about us. So you can really start growing your business in these sort of organic ways from, one, online presence is going to grow. That's going to help you grow. But two, you're kind of instilling things that, whether you're one person or 100 people, are really going to be fundamental pillars of a good business.
I love it. And I love that you're talking about not just getting those 5-star reviews, because those are obviously great to get, but the lesser reviews, as long as they're not written from that, you know, troll behind a computer or just pissed off standpoint, if it's good feedback that you can take and you can use and you can make your business even stronger, that is a good thing. So let's get a little tactical now. What advice do you give for any business who's trying to just get started? How do you begin getting these Google reviews? Because as you and I know, it's not always as easy as just asking, right? So what's your advice?
Well, I'll take a little bit of a counter argument to that, is that, like, it actually is asking. That's it. And what I mean by that is that when you ask, you have to make sure the ask is sort of reasonable, right? If someone goes to you and says, hey, can you, you know, paint my house for $9? Like, that's not reasonable. I can paint your house. $9 really isn't kind of going to do it. So what we had nice job is we were kind of developing our software and things like that. We're like, okay, what are the barriers that get in the way of someone leaving a review? Because we've all been there. Hey, we're about to leave for the day. I hope you enjoyed what we did. Like, oh man, this looks great. Thank you so much for coming out. Like, I'm so glad I hired you. And you're like, oh, I appreciate it. Like, would you be kind enough to leave us a review on Google? We appreciate it. And they're like, oh yeah, of course I will. Thanks so much. They go, they close the door and they turn around and the dog has knocked over the kibble bag and is munching away, you know, or they go and they get a text from their phone that someone says like, are you watching this right now? I'm like, I don't know. And they get, it gets completely gone, right? The review went from, yes, I'm doing it, to not even on the to-do list, not even on a back burner, to just like completely gone. Yeah. So that's one barrier, is just sometimes they forget, you know, how many times do you leave a restaurant and you're like, oh man, this is a delicious meal. We should tell everyone about it. And it's not like you immediately go home and like call everyone on your list. Like, hey, let me tell you about dinner. But next time in conversation, it comes up, you know, word of mouth exists. So what we did at Nice Job is we kind of created a process, starts with a text message, can follow up the three emails. And this sort of gentle reminder, this sort of request allows you to take away one barrier, which is the time right for them? The second barrier that you want to take away is make it easy for them. So some people have, you know, on a business card, put their review link. You know, some people use QR codes, just scan it, things like that.
Well, because QR codes,
all great stuff.
Yeah, QR codes, I was all ready to write them off for a while, but then COVID comes and you go to any restaurant and it's all QR code menus. So I think QR codes are probably here to stay for a while. So that's a great use for it on your business card, or if you have a physical location, have it posted up. I love that.
Because you're taking away a barrier, right? Because they'll take their phone, they know they can just scan it and they'll be right there. And that's the great thing. What we actually did is we were able to secure the short code for Google. So review.new. So for Nice Job, you know, community members, our customers, it's review.new/ and then be your business name there. And what that does, that'll power off the Nice Job engine in that regard. So when you use Nice Job Sense, these reviews are left on these actual platforms. There's no review gating where, well, if they say bad things, it goes to the secret inbox, and they say good things, and we push it through. Because we found, one, review gating is against these policies. So if you're doing that now, I want to urge you to stop, because if you get caught, my business gets suspended, you're going to lose your reviews. Like, that will happen. Mm-hmm. But the other reason we don't do that, things like that, as you talked about, getting, you know, that real live feedback. But also, that's another barrier. You know, well, I clicked between 1 to 10. Now I have to write something else. Now I have to hit submit. Like, why can't I just go to the page and do it right there? So making it simple with the QR code is great, because if you have the review.new link, and since that's powering off of Nice Job now, is when you click that QR code, it can say, where do you want to leave your review? Google, Facebook, Better Business Bureau, Home Advisor. And the person can choose. And Nice Job software determines if they don't have a detectable Google account, they don't have a detectable Facebook account, it's not going to offer that as the first choice, because that's another barrier. Well, you sent me a QR code that just went to Google Docs and it goes to your page, but I don't have a Google account. Ask me to log in. That's an extra step. So to get more reviews is, one, make sure you're not afraid to ask. And I would ask like a specific ask. You know, we have our own podcast, and there's a couple episodes there. We have some of our community members talk about how they do it. But the main theme of it is, when you go to leave or you go to do that goodbye, tell them, hey, you know, I hope we, you know, did an appropriate job here. I'd love for you to leave your review. I'm actually going to send you a text message right now with a link. You can just click it, take it straight through. But hey, if you don't have the time right now, I do understand. We can send some follow-up emails as well, you know? And so you let them know, hey, I want feedback. I want the review. The second part is, I've made it easy for you. And just telling them that alone goes back to like, hey, would you paint my house? I already have the paint. I already have the stuff like that. I already got the thing you told me, and I'm going to give you fair value for it. Like, can you do it? Well, that's a much easier ask than just saying. So if you want to get more reviews, you need a process that makes it simple for the customer, and you have to execute that process in a sense of where you're letting them know from step one. I'd say even in the sales call, we're hoping to do a 5-star job for you. We're hoping to do an 8-star, 10-star, throw that out there. Be like, yeah, we're going to go beyond 5 stars. As soon as Google gets 8 stars, that's the type of job we'll be doing. Or that's the job we do. So we'll start getting those. But you preface it, hey, we're good for feedback. Because that, what I'll also do for all those that are afraid of the bad reviews is, by establishing right in the beginning that, hey, at the end of this, I'm going to ask for a review. I'm going to make it easy for you. Is in the middle of the job, if they have something, they'll probably know that you're receptive to the feedback, and they will bring it up then. So you start almost preemptively getting before the end of the job, before they're at that they feel like it's a one-star thing, is you'll have the opportunity to actually correct that and get that review up before you even ask them to leave it. So that's the key steps. Make sure you're asking, make sure it's simple for the client, and then make sure you're actually dedicated to that. You can't be, forgetting to do it or forgetting to ask for reviews, because if you don't create that culture within your business, it becomes hard to really make it a repeatable process.
Yeah, super proactive. I love the idea of letting them know up front, you're going for those 5 stars. Let me know if I'm not hitting it. And then you can, get there in the end. So, all right. So that's great advice about getting these reviews, making it super easy on them. What comes next in the process? What's the next thing we need to think about?
So when you're collecting reviews and you start getting that feedback, you have to say, well, what are these reviews actually saying? And then what can I do with them? Right. So the first thing is, you get any good review, 4-star, 5-star, a nice glowing detailed feedback from the customer there, is you want to get that as many places as possible. Right. And even beyond, creating it in a paid ad campaign, is, for example, like a nice job, you can automate it. So if something posts on Google, it'll immediately share to your Facebook account. Your Facebook business page is a Facebook post. So it goes back to it. That's more user generated content. Your one review now turned into a review from outside and a post as well. Put that on LinkedIn, Twitter. And then there's obviously things in place that you only are sharing the 4 or 5 stars. Now, again, they're posting on the actual sites themselves. So there's no avoiding, no review gating, as I talked about earlier. But hey, if someone's saying really good things, get it out to everything. So that's the first thing, is you don't want your reviews to sit in a silo, right? And if you're like, all right, well, I'm not a bragger, I'm not kind of those things, these are these people's words, right? You don't have to say, look how good I am. You're saying, hey, this is what Brenda said. This is what Kirsten said. This is what Steve said. And you don't have to add, much more context, things like that. However, I would recommend replying to every single review you get, including like that 1-star troll or the 1-star that didn't do any work with your business and you don't know how it got there. The reason you reply, and I like to equate this to almost like romantic relationships, right? Is when you want to find a partner for the long term, you kind of want to see how they are when things are good and things are bad. It's one of the things, one of the most popular vows is like, for richer, for poorer, sickness and health, that whole thing.
Better or worse.
That's what people want to see from their, that's what people want to see from their businesses, right? They want to see like, okay, well, when you're knocking it out of the park, what's it like? But if I hire you and I might have a disagreement, like how do you settle that? How do you rectify that? Are you going to come in and just be like, I'm the expert, I'm not going to hear anything? Or is this a actual partnership relationship? And so what you're doing by replying to every single review is you're showing, hey, when someone comes and is really, really angry, if we failed to meet their expectations, because that's all bad reviews are, is failing to meet expectations. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the expectations are unrealistic. That's, that's something we're all going to have to deal with. But you can say of, hey, I'm sorry you thought the job took too long. We want to do a better job of making sure that we are very clear about the length of job, but we do understand, that your time is valuable. That's something we want to correct in the future. We'd love the opportunity to show you what we've learned. That's a great line that I love seeing. It's like, we'd love the opportunity to show you what we've learned from this, because that kind of shows like, hey, I took your criticism, I took your feedback, and I'm getting better from it. And you don't have to give me another chance, but we'd love to do that because that's what our business is built on. So you're sharing the good stuff. You're getting out everywhere. You're replying so that you're making sure that every piece of feedback is kind of rectified. And then the last thing you want to do is find out what's being said in those reviews and make the necessary changes, including the good ones. So we're hoping, depending on when this episode comes out and things like that, we're going to be launching very, very soon kind of review topics, right? So you're going to be able to look at your reviews and get and not like keywords, but like kind of like machine learning sentiment of, hey, this review is talking about your professionalism. This review is talking about your cleanliness. This review is talking about, your personality and your kindness. And when you find those out, is the things that you're absolutely crushing mean one or two things. And you do some testing to figure out either A, that's what your market wants. Your market doesn't care about price. They care about punctuality. Or your market does care about price, don't care about the other things. And you could potentially make some changes. The other thing is find out what's not being said and find a way to perhaps express that more, because then that widens your potential base. So I've said it a couple of times in the conversation here. If a lot of people aren't talking about something that you take a lot of pride in, maybe you need to educate them on why that's so important. Like, no one's talking about the chemicals we use and that they're, eco-friendly and rated this way, and maybe that's not super big on your sales pitch. Maybe people, it's not necessarily something that a lot of your customers are really clamoring for, but it might just be enough of a unique selling proposition to get you a bit more clients. Or, and I love when I've actually said this before, and I usually see people say this light up, is, or you can start crafting where some of your troublesome clients that you love to kind of move on from, is you can find people to potentially replace them, you know, and start working with your true target audience, your true ideal client, and go from there. So as your reviews start going in, the three basic sort of steps is getting it out, making it all valuable, and then learning from it. And that's going to help you grow. But then doing the fact that you're doing that kind of outwardly, you know, by marketing it, is your customer base, your target audiences, you know, your service area, they see you doing it as well. And that starts to where you kind of get that feeling of, you could be a business that's a year old, but feel like you've been around for 20 years because you've done it with your community through their reviews, through their words.
Sure. I've got a few things I want to touch on that were talked about in the past few minutes. So the first one being, I like the idea that you can kind of come up with the overall sentiment of these different reviews to figure out what they're essentially about. Because one of the things I always teach my students about testimonials and reviews is, if you're going to be featuring these on your website or in marketing materials, you really want to go for showing different elements in each, right? Overcoming different objections. So what you don't want to do is necessarily pick all of them based on your punctuality, and then none about your cleanliness, none about your great pricing or whatever. You want to be able to, because everyone's got something that's different. Everyone's got different priorities. So you want to be able to hit on as many of them as possible. Is that in your experience as well?
And that's why it's great to be able to analyze these things, because you know what's being said, what's not. You can tell what's working, what's not. But then also you're going to be able to tell, okay, we want to have an ad that talks about, you know, our efficiency in booking, how easy it is to book us. And then you now can find reviews that say exactly that, use as pure testimonial. There's a recent study that came out, and I was trying to scroll to find the full credit for it, but it was the testing that ran through, there was a 300% click-through rate increase when a review was featured within an ad, right? That people were more willing to click through because they saw it was real and kind of genuine, and kind of increased there. But again, you don't want the kind of the same thing. You know, how many times, it's usually, I see it with like car dealers. It's like the one testimonial that they use for 50 years, right? Where it's like, these people are great. And it doesn't really say too much. But by having a little diversity, as you're talking about, in your messaging and spreading it out, is then you also are now testing your ads in particular. You know, what actually is getting more click through? You know, what actually are people looking for from my type of business? So it works in twofold. You're going to find customers where that's important to them, but you're going to also find perhaps where it's more efficient ad spend. You know, when we post about this, we end up booking a lot more. Maybe we throw a little bit more dollars behind that, or even maybe we keep that the same and we try to maybe up the ad spend on something else to see if that is going to bring in, you know, kind of more audiences. And especially if your business is adding more services, that's where it's really important to find out what elements about your business that you can now attach to that new service.
Yeah, totally. Because it's amazing how so many business owners think the thing that's most important to their customers is this, but it's really this other thing over here that they never thought about. There's a big difference between what you think is what you think should be important and what your customers actually find important. So I love that. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, going back to those one-star testimonial, the one-star reviews that you get, and you hit on something interesting. You said those people who have never actually done business with you, but they leave a one-star review. This happens all the time. Either it's competitors, or sometimes it's like disgruntled former employees leave a bad review. How do you recommend handling those? And do you have any kind of under the radar secret way of maybe getting those flagged and removed if they're not accurate?
Yes. Yeah, so we actually have on our website, there's a blog where we talk about kind of going through that process with Google in particular of how to get those removed. I'm going to oversimplify it now, but Google does have processes in place. It's kind of generally proving it, but the main thing is just like get in contact with them and start to do it. But what's going to happen is that's process. Even if you're like, I know a guy at Google, I can call him directly and get this started to handle. A lot of times they're going to say it's going to take a couple hours at the bare minimum to get it down. They usually say no less than 24 to get it removed. So it's going to live there for 24 hours, right? And so the why you want to go respond to it first is you can show your personality there. So do you have like a really good witty? And by good witty, I mean like, look, if it's like, very aggressive sort of humor. I'm not saying it's not funny. It just may not play the best. But you can have somebody like, oh man, like, you know, we searched far and wide looking for you and we can't find it. Like, we are generally concerned here because obviously since you wrote a review, we must have served you, but like, we can't find record of you anywhere. So like, please, if you would, like, give us a call just so we can identify it. So then we can take care of the people that worked on this thing. You know, like, you kind of like wittily sort of play from there. But I would say the best way to respond is you kind of go, and you never want a stock response, really anything. And kind of talking about positive reviews for a second here is that it doesn't help you reply to every review with like, we appreciate your business, thanks again. Like, if it's over and over and over, it doesn't do anything from what customers actually get from you. I don't think the person leaving the feedback feels good about it either. And that's something I need to keep in mind. But for the negative trolls, the competitors, things where it's obviously fake, what you want to do is almost act like it was real for a second, right? And be like, man, like, I don't know how they knew we were the Illuminati, but somehow they did, you know, like, let's figure this out. And what you do is, all right, how will we respond to that, right? If someone actually said this, how will we respond to it? Mm-hmm. Catalog that in your head and then take out things that I don't say admit fault, but obviously you're like, all right, well, that's not really us. It's not really a competitor thing. And then approach from that angle. But the big thing you want to say is, not in these exact words, but whether there was a glowing review or a one-star review, you always want to put the sentiment of, we appreciate your feedback. We are going to take it. We're going to learn from it. We'd love to hear more about this. So the one-star review, the five-star review. And then that's where you kind of throw the wit back in the end. So the one-star review would be like, hey, you know, like this, you know, hasn't really identified with anything else we've done. This is the first time we're hearing this feedback, but thank you for sharing it, because if we don't get this feedback, we can't learn and grow from it. We'd love to kind of talk more about it because we're having trouble picking or bringing up your specific job, you know, that sort of thing. You know, you can also, if you find out, I've seen this one, like, I've noticed you've left this on some other business sites, like the same review. And you kind of call it out there, because really the only person that's reading that one star ranting review and actually taking it to heart is someone more than likely that was already looking not to work with you. You know, so that tactic of, I look for the best three reviews and the worst three reviews. People do that because they want to make sure they've got the full picture before making it. But people that really dive into negative reviews and read them with a fine tooth comb and decide that that's the only narrative they want to believe, that's the answer they were looking for, right?
Yeah.
That's all they're looking for.
Confirmation bias at work.
So when you respond to that one-star review, you kind of get up there. It doesn't promote it anymore. I'd say on Google, I would like all your five-star reviews. There's a little like button you can do. You know, you can ask other, ask your clients like, hey, did you read any reviews before booking us? If you did, we'd love if you have the time, like, go back and like those reviews. It really helps us to know, you know, what people were really loving. You know, get your fan base involved. Mm-hmm. If you're liking those other reviews, those one-star reviews aren't going to be seen as much. But then additionally, if, you know, you can try to get it removed if it's obviously fake. If it's real, solve the problem would be my first recommendation. You know,
you just did
a one-star job. And again, most bad reviews are failure to meet expectations. So perhaps it's kind of gauging that. But yeah, get back in there, respond, show your personality, show who you are, show how you respond to feedback, treat it like it's real. And if it's obviously fake, you can trust the audience generally knows. But the fact that you also have a process in place, you know, if you're using something like nice job, or you just kind of built some of the steps we talked about, is now you're going to be drowning out that one star review with a ton of five star reviews. So it's like the one person in the stadium booing while everyone else is cheering. Does that analogy still work after coronavirus? Remember stadiums?
I think like we're getting really back close to it. Yeah. I live about a mile away from Wrigley Field and people are already back in there. So it's coming back online. So,
you know, the one guy booing is drowned out by all the people cheering. That's how you want to get your one-star reviews, is you're throwing so many five stars out there that it's just a dissenting opinion that means nothing.
Couldn't say it better. I get YouTube comments all the time from people, because I have a lot of videos on Google My Business, and people have a lot of questions about, you know, what do I do when I know that my competitors are putting up fake reviews and stuff? I'm like, stay in your own lane. Don't worry about what they're doing. Try to get more five-star reviews for yourself.
Because also, imagine spending your time, if you're trying to grow your business, spending time just writing fake reviews on other competitors.
Yeah.
So realistically, policing
your competitors, what they're doing, like, leave them alone. Like, just, do you, you know?
Because that's going to be successful for you, right? Stay in your lane, growing what you're doing. You know, you heard it from any sort of, you know, successful athlete or things like that. They're like, I was focused on what I was doing. I wasn't worried about the person next to me. Yeah. You know, I honestly think I don't think anyone should fear one-star reviews, because if you have a legitimate process, if you are a great business, if you have a good culture, you can handle that. And everyone also knows that, I think most people believe that only angry people write reviews. I think that's still a false narrative out there. So the fact that you have one review, and it, even if it looks really scathing, but it's drowned out by 99 other ones, people go, yeah, wow, what effort it took for 99 people to write the good review. Because I know the angry person was just super angry and ran right to their computer and furiously typed. That's why they have exclamation points, then a one. And that's why some of the words are spelled wrong.
That's true. Easy to spot. All right, cool. So what else can we talk about in terms of where we can use this good social proof in our marketing? Do you have any other good tips?
Yeah. So one thing is to talk about, like, if your website in general, you know, that's always a real great place to put it. And anytime you can have real time social proof, I think it's really huge. So we actually have a absolutely free product. So you don't need a nice job, you know, subscription or anything like that at all, called Engage. And what it is just a small little pop-up that will show, you know, recent reviews, recent bookings, depending, you know, if you're using certain CRMs, things like that, you know, that data can pull. But what it does is it shows the person that's on your website that, you know, again, that viable, that relevant. But when it comes up and it's real time, it's live, is you kind of can show a little bit of a customer journey. We have a great example where we show where it's like a new booking 5 days ago. And then it's like new 5-star review from the same person 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. Like, that customer journey is goldmine. That person's website, their conversion rate jumped probably a good 10% just from, like, those type of things alone. And
that's cool.
What the real-time social proof does is that it also makes your website fresh, right? So if you can display reviews via a widget, if you're web savvy and you kind of want to constantly, you know, update it manually, you can do that, but I'd recommend it. But by having that fresh content and having it post in any sort of real time, whether it's sharing your Twitter or sharing to your Facebook, what that's going to do is it also shows that you're not kind of resting on your reputation of past, is that you're constantly having a good one. Because the one thing that people start to see is when you see, and I brought up the car dealers, that same testimonial that you've seen mm-hmm. forever. You know, you look back, like, there's one, I grew up in Philadelphia, there's one car commercial where it was just running the same ad. And we'd always joke, we're like, that person definitely doesn't even own that car anymore. It's been like 20 years, right? That Honda did not last that long.
In the junkyard for 10 years.
Yeah, right? And then, you know, the kid in the ad, you're like, that guy's married now with three kids. And he's still the little kid going, I love cars. But what updating and having, you know, channels where there's real-time social proof or a kind of sort of update, that's going to be huge for your marketing. And it also will give you kind of a timeline of when you might want to refresh your ads. If you're still doing things like, you know, mailers and physical copy things, you know, it gives you a timeline to kind of update those things. And it helps kind of, you know, cultivate sort of a fan base, which is the last thing I'll say is when you create it, a culture of, hey, we want to ask for reviews and get you involved, and we're going to take the words that you say and really help us kind of grow, you start to build a fan base. And what you want to do is keep your fan base engaged, which is kind of a little off the radar sort of tip, is every 6 or 8 months, you probably should ask a repeating client to refresh their review if they would. You know, be like, hey, I would love to get your review now, you know, if you want to update it, to let me know how you feel now that we've been here 10 times. You know, do you still have the spark from thing one, you know, things like that. But then ultimately that kind of is when they start sharing, when they see the reviews and ads, and when they start kind of becoming a little bit part of your marketing team as well. So creating a community, creating a culture within your business, or a fan base within your business, is another way to really take this reputation that you're building and start expanding it out and start really expanding your reach to find new people. And then eventually you'll start hearing people call being like, hey, I've been hearing so much about you. I had to figure out what you're about. And that goes back to before any internet, you know, and all that stuff, that word of mouth's gone digital, but it still manifests as word of mouth. And so if you have a good web presence, you have current recent reviews, you know, posted as many places as you can. When you and I are having the conversation and you mention someone, and I whip out my phone because I know that's what you do, and you take a quick look, seeing the fact that it's relevant new things, reviews posted a day ago, 5 hours ago, things like that, that really creates that psychological switch of, hey, I need to investigate this more. And if your sales funnel is correct and a lot of the other part of your processes are correct, once you have that trigger of, I want to investigate more, that now you're reeling in fish at that point.
Love it, Sean. This has been amazing. So where can people find out more about you online and about Nice Job and Yeah, give us all the links and all the stuff now.
Yeah, so I can say I myself as the community director at Nice Job, I host a podcast called the Nice Job Podcast. Clever name, I know. Nice. But you can find that kind of wherever you download podcasts. But the reason I want to recommend that is, one, we'd love to have you come on our show. So I want to make that kind of invite publicly now.
Yeah, I'd love to. That'd be great.
Yeah, to have a quick chat on the other way around. You can do the monologuing this time instead of me. I know I was rambling. Yeah, so we'd love for you to check that out. But then if you're interested in Nice Job software, and then you can also find our blog through this link as well, to learn kind of the tips and the thought leadership put out there. It's get.nicejob.com. You can also do nicejob.com if you want. We are so glad we just got the .com. We were .co for the longest time. So yeah, nicejob.com. Come check us out. You can get that free engage widget there, as I talked about. You can do a free 14-day trial, all the fun stuff. But more importantly, I want to say is that what we're trying to do at Nice Job is build a community where entrepreneurs, business owners are kind of all growing and better together. Because if everyone's doing well, yes, it will help software companies like us that have, you know, leading tools to help with these processes. But also, that's just such a fun place to be when people are thriving and have positivity. So come check us out. Yeah. We'd love to chat with you. We'd love to talk about Jen. Even if you have no interest in our software, we'd just love to get to know you so we can kind of build our community.
Yeah, well, that free widget sounds like a pretty cool thing. It sounds like it's basically kind of a competitor product to Use Proof. Is it similar to that?
Yeah, it's pretty similar to that one there. Yeah, so it's kind of a, you know, it's a social proof widget. It kind of comes up and displays, you know, the real time. I think that what we kind of have that we really like about it is when it integrates with our software is because you're able to kind of pull those reviews. And then, like I said, depending on what CRM you might be using or other data that you're able to populate in there, so you can also kind of do bookings and reviews as well. And then that also gives you the ability to you know, go through that review.news site and things like that. So I invite you to check it out. But the main reason we made it free is we had, at first we're going to kind of release it free and it was going to roll into one of our upgraded plans that's kind of due to come out you know, in the next little stretch here or next little bit. But the reason we kind of made it free for everybody is we thought that it kind of helped the consumers as much as it helped the business owner. So business owners, it helps your conversion rate, but for consumers, it allows you to kind of very easily, you're already on the website, is to kind of see more social proof instead of having to go on a website, then click back and then click another link through to find the Google My Business page. Like, here it is, front and center. So we figured that it's a tool that everyone, you know, should have access to absolutely free. And so that's why it's going to remain free forever.
Nice. Yeah. And the one I mentioned is not free. It's quite expensive actually. So that's awesome. All right, cool, Sean. Well, thanks for coming on. It's been a pleasure.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, so hopefully that got your wheels turning about all the ways you can use these reviews and all these different things that Sean was talking about on your website and in all your marketing to really connect with your clients where it matters. So, but before we wrap up, I do want to remind you guys about the Ultimate Google Ranking Kickstart Kit. It's my brand new resource for you. Again, it's everything you need to flawlessly plan and optimize the perfect search campaign for your small or local business. And that comes with the perfect on-page SEO blueprint, the Google My Business Success Checklist, and the Profitable Keyword Research Workbook. So all three of these things together are going to put you in a really good position to be able to get in front of way more of your ideal clients and customers. So you're going to go to wesmcdowell.com/Google to get that. Once again, wesmcdowell.com/Google. All right, guys, that is going to do it for this week. Stay tuned for another exciting episode next Monday. But until then, I want you to remember, learning is one thing, but taking action is everything. So go out there and make it real. Bye for now.